KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Well, most of us spend some time on some sort of social media, and we've all have found various consequences for doing so, whether it's broken relationships or encouraging others, hopefully, through our posts. Have you considered this, parents and those considering going on to higher education? Might ill-advised posts prevent you from getting into a college of your choice, or your student from getting into a college of their choice? We're going to catch up with Brett Eckleberry. He's managing editor at Plugged In with Focus on the Family, PluggedIn.com. Hey, Brett, thanks so much for taking the time to walk us through this topic.
Happy to, Steve. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's not a, hey, this maybe could happen. We've seen the results of people, posting what some may call ill-advised posts, and schools finding it offensive as the online content, and having those consequences, students not looking for. It's not really a new issue. Can you tell us about this instance with Harvard revoking admission and what we can learn from examples?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are two actually pretty high profile Harvard cases that happened in the last few years or so, one in 2017 and one in 2019, where a group of students in the first case had joined a Facebook group. They had built out a Facebook group, and as potential applicants to Harvard, people getting into Harvard, and they shared a number of off-color jokes about various topics, derogatory racial statements, not good. And because of that, Harvard saw that and ended up revoking their admission. The second instance took place a couple years later. It involved a gentleman by the name of Kyle Kashub, and he had actually made posts. This was a more controversial one because his admission was revoked because of posts that had been discovered he made when he was 16 years old. So still, he owned up to the posts that he made, and he apologized for them. And he cited personal growth in the years since. I think we can all at least sympathize with the idea. We all did dumb things as teenagers. You don't have the best self-control at the time. But Harvard still revoked his admission. And that really kicked off kind of a controversial discussion of, okay, what do we hold against people of a certain age, and what consequences still result from actions, even when you're young?
Well, as we were heading into this, Brett, one thing occurred to me is I was assuming that the post that, got people in trouble with potential schools they'd like to attend were, like you mentioned, off-color type posts. And, when it comes to schools, even or especially Harvard, I began to think, if you're on social media and here we are heading up to a November election, and, political speak get, kind of amps up this time of year. And, you may speak to that on a conservative side, or just speak of the things that are truths from the Bible. I was thinking, man, even that kind of post, you may find yourself, being kept from being able to enter the college of your choice. Now, if it were, the latter here, where we're talking about biblical, kind, maybe right-leaning posts that kept you from getting into a school. To be honest, I mean, I guess at that point I would be like, well, I guess I'm glad I found out now that there'd be this issue. But is that something that's kind of reared its head as well as you looked into this?
That hasn't bubbled up really specifically in news stories of like the particular situation you described, but I'm glad you bring that up, because Really, I think what we're looking at here is kind of two different tracks, right? You have something of where it's kids making off-color or racist remarks that come back to bite them, versus kids maybe saying, hey, you know what? I believe in this. I'm going to take a stand for my faith. And maybe that does deny me admission to a certain school if there's either a certain political leaning or, say, leaning against maybe outspoken Christianity. It is interesting as we look at those two tracks, because you're absolutely right. I think we'd encourage our kids to not be afraid. We'd encourage them to say, hey, be careful what you post. You know, if it's something that you think, I don't know if I should post this, you probably shouldn't. But if it's a matter of standing up for your faith, speaking out for Christ, I think that's something that we all really want to encourage our kids to do. And, you know, the consequences come as they may.
Right. Amen. Yeah. And it's a good conversation to have with your kids either way. We don't want our kids engaging in these off-color type conversations, but we also want them to be aware that, you know, standing for the truth, there's a cost. And are you counting the cost before you head down that road? And we pray that they are. So with that in mind, people may be listening like, oh, come on. Is the school or schools I'm thinking about attending really checking out my social media? What are the odds here that something like this would happen at Harvard would happen to an average applicant?
Sure. Admittedly, the chances are low because of the overall kind of the deluge of college applications that go out to each college. People have to sort through those. It's a big task that I would say does not happen often, where people are going through and scrubbing every single applicant's social media. So admittedly, the risk is low, but as we've seen, it does happen. And the way that the internet works as well, if there is something inflammatory that gets out into the world, the online space, whether it's negative, as we've seen in some of these other cases, or whether we would say it's inflammatory, but it's in a positive way because maybe it's someone standing for their faith, the online space, as we know, can really blow that up and raise that to a level where these posts could get attention. And that would put these social media things on the radar of colleges that are looking at their admissions. So even though it's rare, we've definitely seen several instances of it happening. And the internet can really, I think, just kind of pour gasoline on the fire, so to speak.
Well, you know, we're in the AI age. And even older guys like me are dipping their toe carefully into this. And there's students that are having chats with AI, which by the way, in an earlier interview that was heard on this broadcast, I want to remind parents to share with their kids. AI isn't a person. AI doesn't care about you. AI doesn't care if you get accepted into the school you want to get accepted into. But bringing AI into the question, do those AI chats have a similar potential for college admission implications?
They can. We saw a little bit of a different form of this very recently. And this isn't the only time it's happened either. So this isn't a one-off instance, but, recently the AI chatbot Claude, it's the company that runs it, is Anthropic. So Claude, that's becoming more and more popular as an alternative to like a ChatGPT. Users of Claude found suddenly, surprisingly, that supposedly private conversations with the chatbot became public knowledge on search engines like Google and Bing. And they weren't supposed to be, but the reason for this is they chose to share a private chat with someone else, not the whole world, just at least one other person to say, hey, we'll discuss some private topic here. Because they did that, things like medical records, corporate information, even content that would lean toward explicit private content were suddenly searchable online for everyone. So as conversational search in these chatbots get more and more popular, and I think used more and more by the younger generation as well, we just need to be aware that, you know, if this is still going out into the internet, this is still going out to a place. It's not a private conversation with a person like you brought up, which I think is a great way to put it. This can suddenly and surprisingly be public knowledge for a lot of people, and that could result in some consequences as well when private conversations get out.
Well, listen, if you just joined us, we're visiting with Brett Eckelberry with the Focus on the Family's Plugged In. He's a managing editor there. We would encourage you to go to the website at pluggedin.com to find out more about resources available to you. And before we end our conversation, Brett and I will walk you through some of what you'll find there. Brett, you and I have both brought up parents having conversations with their students. I'd like to take a quick break and come back and talk about maybe, you know, bullet points that parents may write down and consider about including in conversations they have with their college-bound kids. Can you stay with us and come back and chat about that?
I'd be happy to.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back with more right after this on ABQ Connect.
KLYT, this is ABQ Connect.
We are right in the midst of a conversation considering social media. Can social media prevent college acceptance? And we talked in our first segment with Brett Eckelberry, managing editor at Plugged In from Focus on the Family. PluggedIn.com is the website. And we talked about a couple of cases with people trying to get admitted to Harvard having issues based on what was deemed to be offensive online content. Going into the break, had mentioned providing some bullet points to consider for parents. They're going to hopefully have conversations with their college-bound kids around these issues. So, Brett, thanks for staying with us through the break. Let's jump into some of these conversations that parents need to have with their college-bound kids, and what might that conversation include?
Yeah, absolutely. So to that point, here at Plugged In, we always encourage that parents really foster that open back and forth communication, especially when it comes to entertainment, technology, social media, things like that, with your kid, so they feel very comfortable coming to you whenever they see something or there's an issue that has come up. So really working hard to establish that. And for parents out there, it's never too early to start that, right? You might not be diving in deep on the social media with a five-year-old, but it's okay to start having conversations in this vein of, hey, you know, what goes online stays online forever, pretty much. So you got to be very careful with what you put out there. It's almost kind of, if you will, a turn on the old phrase, what goes in your head, what goes in your mind doesn't ever come out. What goes in one ear doesn't go out the other necessarily. So you got to be careful what you put in your mind. And similarly, you have to be careful with what you put online as well. So the number one bullet point I'd say is really fostering that open, honest communication where your kid can feel comfortable coming to you and talking about this. Second, just like we've been talking about here, bring up these examples, right? You're not bringing up an example of, hey, this kid posted something bad on social media and couldn't get into the college they wanted, so you better not do that or anything like that. You don't want to come in necessarily with that attitude. But I think just having that honest communication of like, hey, bringing this up, hey, did you see what happened here on this large scale? I think asking your kids, have you seen maybe smaller scale instances of this in your own friend group where maybe someone told a joke within a quote unquote circle of trust and then it got outside of that and caused issues? I think we really want to try to identify examples and set that kind of precedent for our kids so they can then bring those examples to us as well. They can have that kind of active mindset, because when it comes to a lot of this technology, we can be very passive. we can let things kind of wash over us and we can just experience them rather than being active participants where we say, hey, you know, I'm going to be discerning. Do I want to send this post? I need to think about this at a higher level than just what my friend will think about it.
Yeah, I love the way brought up, you know, really the tone of the conversations with kids. And hey, listen, I'm the parent of many and the grandparent of many more. And I will tell you, I love having conversations with my kids. And from time to time, I'm wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove in those conversations. And, you know, to kind of nonchalantly, you know, man, did you see this story? Wow. You know, that's a bummer. Man, imagine that, you know, that young person worked their whole time in school to go to the school they wanted to. And just because of a silly, foolish post, all those years of investment just gone. That is such a tragedy. What a bummer. I mean, you know, imagine if, you know, these schools that you're thinking about going to, man, if they had access, which I guess they do, according to this article, you know, just how we approach that. And now that's pretty obvious. You know, that's not that wise as a serpent, sneakiness, but, you know, to just nonchalantly bring up the conversations, but then also being transparent, you know, about your desire to want the best for them because you love them, and get them equipped.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you bring that up too, because that's just a good example of if you establish that kind of that comfortability in having those conversations, I think parents would be surprised as to what your kids will bring up to you. Like, hey, dad, hey, mom, I saw this. And opening that door where you can begin to probe, like, okay, what did you think about that? Like, what would you do if you were in this situation? And then touching on the fact that, you know, actions have consequences. I think we all learn that at some point or another in our lives, but also being able to reinforce, well, that is true, and some doors may close because of mistakes that we make, we still are loved by God, who loves us in spite of our mistakes and still wants us in spite of our mistakes, no matter what. So even if you, worst case scenario, and at least in this story, if you don't get into the college of your choice, I think reaffirming as a parent, the spiritual reality that, like, God will never leave you or forsake you, that can be, I think, a really powerful thing in a moment, especially of hurt, if a child's actions lead to some painful consequences.
Yeah, well said. And hopefully parents are taking, and so hopefully students that are listening are taking notes as well. Now, as parents, you know, we don't want harm to come to our kids. And to be honest, as I mentioned, you know, all the kids that we had, I didn't want harm to come to them, but I also wanted them to experience, you know, to be able to leave the nest a little bit, that gradual process as they head towards adulthood, skin their knee a little bit. But I wanted them wearing a helmet when they were on a skateboard or a bike. And as a parent, that was my way of protecting someone who I dearly love. And, you know, those safety features we put in place. How about parents in this situation? Are the ways to protect the kids have those safety features that might mitigate some of these instances?
Yeah, and I love the example that you bring up there with the idea of riding like a skateboard or a bike, right? It's not that they aren't going out on their own and they're doing this, but they have some of that protection. So in that vein, I would say one of the things is, you know, protect your kids by not letting them have access to social media too soon. That's not necessarily a specific age. It could be for some parents, but parents will know the personality of their children best, where they can decide, okay, we're going to wait a little bit longer for you to, I know your friends are on social media, but we're going to wait a little bit longer because you need to get a little bit older. You need to learn a little bit more self-control, or learn a little bit more that if you say something hurtful, it can really have serious consequences. So I think that's one way we can protect them, is making sure as best as possible that they are ready for it when we allow them to have access. And then two, I would just say teaching them that discernment piece of step back, take a breath, whether it's a post or it's something else, a text message, anything like that. Step back, take a breath, look at what you're sending and use a little bit of discernment here to see like, okay, would I be comfortable if this got out into a public space, right? Would that be okay? And if not, then maybe you should think about, rethink sending something or posting something. So I think really working to build that internal discernment, that's the best way where our kids will be able to go out without us, but still be equipped to meet the challenges that they'll face along the way.
Hey, if you just joined us, we're visiting with Brett Eckelberry. He's plugged in. Managing editor, plugged in, of course, a resource from Focus on the Family. You can go to pluggedin.com to find out more about the work that Brett and others on his team are doing. Pluggedin.com, as we mentioned earlier in the broadcast, a lot of resources, you know, other than information about social media that we're talking about today. But Brett, as we bring a close to our conversation, if you'd connect pluggedin.com and the resources available there that connect to our conversation here, as well as other areas of media that parents may not be aware and students may not be aware are available to them at pluggedin.com.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So, pluggedin.com, that's our website where we dive into everything related to media and technology, entertainment and technology. We have a blog where we talk a lot about just the topics that we were talking about today, right? Social media, AI, how we can kind of navigate this ever-changing kind of digital landscape, how we can be discerning and careful as we move forward in that. And then also Plugged In provides content reviews for all sorts of entertainment properties. That's movies, TV shows, games, books, even YouTube channels, you name it. We stay up to date on all the latest content, provide full and detailed content reviews. So if you're thinking about watching or playing something, check out pluggedin.com. We'll have a review for it and you can see all of the content that's in there and decide if, use a little bit of discernment and decide if it is best for you.
Yeah. And, Brett didn't say it, but I will. Look, the team at Plugged In pretty much, in many circumstances, they've fallen on the grenade for you. Before you find yourself in front of something for media with your kids and wish you had gone to Plugged In, go see what they have to say about different content, including, I want to mention, I never noticed this on the page before. Some parents a little more, less tech savvy than others. And, maybe you'd like to have some of those, parental controls on the various streaming formats that you have on your device and the device your kids are using. They even walk you through how to find those parental controls on various streaming devices. So much that we didn't cover because there's so much there. Take the time and go through the website at pluggedin.com to find out more and prayerfully consider. Listen, Focus on the Family and Plugged In, a nonprofit organization, do a lot of great work for our community. And you can prayerfully consider how you might support them financially, but send them a word of encouragement. Pray for the ministry, and make sure you're tuned in here. We regularly have representatives from Plugged In on the broadcast, like Brett. Brett, thanks for taking the time today, and let's do this again sometime.
That'd be great, Steve. Thanks so much for having me on.
All right, and thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.